Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you so much for joining me today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. This is our Tuesday flagship show. Super excited to always be here with you. And today I am talking to George Brooks, who is a former global business executive leader. He's a trained attorney. He's a trained CPA. He's worked for Ernst & Young. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this because he has put in his time in the business world and is now serving in another capacity. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. He's helping business owners and professionals really not just understand mindfulness and compassion more, but actually how to implement it into their lives. And we're going to be talking about a really cool concept that he's developed called the Motivation Matrix today. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hello, Allison. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So I basically let the cat out of the bag and told the audience, you know, that you're obviously very well credentialed to do what you do. But you and I were chatting a little bit before we hit record, but give us just the quick version, like an introduction, so that my audience can sort of know a little bit more about you.
Oh, sure. So I spent 35 years in a professional services firm, EY, and helped companies around the world deal with people issues or people opportunities in business transformation, and had a lot of experience both assisting clients and running a business unit. But towards the end of my career, I found I spent a lot of time coaching people and helping people deal with anxiety and stress. And there were certain themes that were recurring. And at the same time, I became interested in mindfulness and neuroscience and psychology, behavioral psychology, and got certified in mindfulness and meditation and compassion training. And then I saw a bridge as to how those applications could help us in the workplace.
I love that. You basically kind of saw an open door to a problem that you felt like you could solve. I love that. So you obviously, after all this time in the business world, are really kind of working things from the other side now. I think that's probably the best way to put it. So tell us a little bit, before we get into our topic for today, tell us a little bit about the work you do with people now.
Yeah, so right now, it's an interesting journey. It started with helping people deal with common triggers in the workplace. So if you think about three categories, things we do to ourselves to let our minds run unchecked and how to gain control of that and de-stress. And then the second category was helping people with interpersonal issues, like team-based issues around managing conflict and communications and betrayal. Mm-hmm. And then the third category evolved around selling and sales. And I've found that there's a lot of anxiety and stress built in, you know, and we can manage in the sales process.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. And then the most recent journey is helping businesses implement business strategy by what kind of mindset shifts do they need their people to think to execute the strategy better? So it's becoming a mindset process. Yeah.
So really what you're saying is, rather than focusing all on the actionable pieces, it's like, let's look at this from the energy that we're presenting this. And then the strategy becomes not just easier, but probably even better and more comprehensive to implement.
Exactly. And that's because the statistics are there. If you look at Harvard Business Review, something like 83% of change initiatives fail.
Yeah.
And I was like, And I think if you can't do what your mind is not set to do, so that's the tip of the spear. You need to understand.
Think about it.
Yeah, Allison. And so, where's your mind at? What's your default mind at?
And we're always panicking for danger. You know, we're always looking for the problem. I mean, that's what our brains are wired to do.
Exactly. Well said. So when I mentioned all these instances, when I unpacked them, I found every single one that I just discussed deals with our amygdala being triggered initially. And we literally are running on our fear center of the brain.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of people listening can probably relate to this. I think we spend a lot of our life living there, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah. And, you know, what I found is why did I get into and become certified in this space is, you know, the running on fear, you know, leads to some harmful emotions. And if these are any things you're experiencing, right? Chronic fatigue, insomnia, forgetfulness, impaired concentration, getting to unhealthy coping mechanisms, you know, whether it's the evening cocktails or the, you know, the dinners at night and things like that, neglecting self-care and not working out. That's a trap. And that's not an outcome I think we want.
Yeah, agree. Absolutely. 100%. So you wrote a book, and in that book, you talk about this concept of the motivation matrix, right?
Yes. The book was for EY. It was called Unleashing Human Power. And within that, you know, when we're trying to unleash power, you know, create new sustainable habits, what would motivate us? And specifically, there's an interesting question that came to me that helped me create this motivation matrix. It was in the area of self-care. Mm-hmm. And so it was a CEO of a health system that said, I get what you're doing, George. I understand the value proposition. Let's just cut to the chase.
Right.
I know I'm supposed to eat vegetables and fruit. I know I'm supposed to work out. I'm supposed to floss. But yet, I find a hard time consistently doing it. So it's the same thing with mindfulness and meditation. We know all the benefits of the practices. But, you know, how can I create a new habit or rewire our mindset so that we can take care of ourselves?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So let's just get right to it. The motivation matrix has four quadrants, right?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right. So why don't you just tell us quickly, like, what each of those four quadrants are?
Okay, sure. So the motivation matrix, just to level set so people understand, if we're trying to create a new habit, you know, the focus should not be on what you want to achieve in that habit. Like, I want to work out more. The focus should be on change it to what type of person you'd like to become. And so what type of person I'd like to become. So if you're running, say, on this amygdala hijack, and all those things are happening to you, right? You're just fatigued, you're not sleeping, you're just not healthy. You know, the type of person I want to become is the person, right, that is more alert, is high functioning and feels good, right? But what would motivate me? It's one thing to just think that. So the motivation underneath that I found was so compelling is, when I studied the compassion training and mindfulness and all these interventions, it boiled down to like why we're here and what drives us. And I think, you know, like the one definition of happiness is to make other people happy. So the motivation matrix on the four quadrants top left is joy building for ourselves. We want to create and do things during the day. What is going to build joy in my life? Underneath that is how can I avoid suffering? What can I do today to avoid suffering? Right. Top right, what can I do to bring joy to others? Bottom right, what can I do to help others avoid suffering? And that's the definition of compassion.
Right.
And
right.
You know, so that matrix can help you find the motivation to create a vision of that, you know, future self of yourself to the person you want to be.
Yeah. So then in a nutshell, in the work that you do, you use the motivation matrix and sort of help map out a path for your clients. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So we help them think through. Right. And there's a process and some steps and questions to ask yourself and examples of what worked for other people. Why, you know, you want this new type of person you want to be. And it's really wild. A lot of them fall into the bottom right. We are highly motivated. I think we're built to be compassionate. I mean, if you think of the definition of compassion, it's the urge to the warm-hearted urge to alleviate the suffering of others. I think for many people, respond and get motivated and do new things to fill that versus build joy for yourself. So we had a mother, right? Had a newborn baby, and she had a certain type of diet that she followed and was vegan. And, you know, there was the risk that the child had some allergies to foods. Mm-hmm. Well, bottom right quadrant, the child is suffering. It's a newborn. You know, what would the newborn mother do? Well, she changes her diet to help the child from alleviating suffering from the food allergy, right? And there's no question about it, right? You sacrifice yourself for the benefit of others. And then there was another case where drinking alcohol, right? And obviously, you know, it does things to your body, but it could also do things to other people. And that bottom right quadrant, you know, is your drinking causing other people to be disappointed in you or to be on eggshells when they're around you? And if those people are loved ones, right? And I found so many instances where the new habit of quitting alcohol, people stopped immediately that minute when they found that right. It was hurting someone else. So, like,
really,
okay,
what you're saying is by taking this tool, and I love really how you're describing this, but what's really coming up for me is that you're using this tool to help people kind of reframe two things, really. Reframe what it is that they want, rather than just like setting a goal and you know, almost like there's just no emotion attached to it. But the other thing that you're doing with this is you're helping people really change their perspective a little bit by maybe presenting it in a way that they haven't thought about before. And then that makes it a lot easier for them to say, okay, now I can get on board with this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of goes off what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. Why do 83% of business change programs fail? You know, yeah. Why do like 83% of people, you know, fall off by the last week in January of their New Year's resolution? It's the same thing. It is, I think what I found, you won't do what your mind isn't set to do. And so you need to have this mindset established. So for example, in the change programs in business, our brain is wired to resist change, period. And that's just a fact. So the mind burst is how we can learn to embrace change, because change is the only constant in life. So it's the same thing when it comes to creating these habits for self-care. Our brain is wired mm-hmm. for like an immediacy bias. It doesn't want to do things that take a long time, even if they're good for you.
Totally. That's human nature. We want the quick. Yeah.
You want the quickness, you want pleasure, you want comfort, the path of least resistance. So coming out of the gate, you know, you can look up all these other steps to create habits. You know, let's move to step two. Step one is, what's the new person in your motivation matrix? So you're going to see a lot on habit formation around, as we mentioned, the brain already likes things that are immediate in pleasure and comfort. So the supporting system to migrate to new habits, there's these four laws of behavior change, make right. it obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying. So you're actually using those parts of the brain the other way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, when your exercise programs, you want a goal, obviously, is to be this person that could be active with, like, I would say a grand trial for me. And my goal isn't to hit a certain weight or things like that. But what I did is attractive, easy, and satisfying. What attractive is, what do I enjoy? I love social, right? Doing things with other people.
Right.
Easy, build it into your schedule. And satisfying, I like to compete. So what fell into that category? Pickleball, right? Every morning at 7:30, the retired men and women's league plays. You're with other people. And it's competitive, and it makes it so easy to go work out, right?
Yeah, you have like a sense of community, and it's something, you know, activity that you enjoy because it's social too.
Yeah, so that's like a supporting mechanism.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout,
or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Then step three, usually what you see for creating sustainable habits is know ahead of time that there are saboteurs. And so the saboteur, for the most part, if I had to pick one, is that we lack self-belief. So the brain, you know, and this is a really wild thing I found, is our self-esteem culturally is built on a sense of achievement.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And that's maybe okay, but when we don't achieve, we can't lose our self-esteem. We're more than, you know, winning a pickleball game. Right. Yeah. And that same concept works in, I failed, I missed the workout, or I'm eating bad and I'm not achieving, so my self-esteem goes down and I failed before. You have to have a plan for that, because that's going to happen, right? And you need and what I found is we just don't practice enough self-compassion in our culture.
And the other piece to this is you're talking about identifying the saboteur, which I really like that. But I think really what's underneath all that, you were saying you don't think you think people lack self-belief, and I agree with you, but I think really what it comes down to is people don't trust themselves to follow through. They're thinking of the last time they messed up or the last time they tried to do something and they weren't successful. They're not thinking about it from the angle that, well, I learned this last time, even though I didn't get to where I wanted to be. They're not thinking about that. They're just thinking about the fact that they failed, because that's really how our brain is wired, right? So that's what we're going to remember more than anything, is that we didn't get to where we wanted to go. And in order to be able to overcome that, we have to learn to be able to trust ourselves enough that we will figure it out if we're willing to learn something different.
Yeah. And I like what you said. And I think we can know ahead of time when that thought you just said happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to replace it with, I tried before and did it.
Yeah.
And so we can find instances in life, and I'm sure we all have them, where through perseverance, we did accomplish something. And we just replace that thought of, I tried, you know, this exercise before and failed, you know, I tried to pass the bar exam and I did it, you know, and I got a whole new thought going in there. And I, you know, in terms of manifestation, like if you manifest on I didn't versus I did, it changes the entire opportunity.
Totally, 100%. And I remember back when I was working in fitness full time, even though I still worked with a handful of private clients when I owned my gyms. You know, I would always work with my clients on this. By the time most people got to me, they had tried a few things and hadn't had success. And one of the things I would always try to point out to them at the very beginning is, okay, let's look at what worked. Let's look at what you like. Let's look at what makes the most sense, because I'm trying to keep them focused on that versus this is what didn't work. And when you do that, when you focus on what you want, guess what? You're going to get more of what you want.
It's the only way. Yeah. So to just summarize, to create a sustainable habit of self-care, like number one, focus on what you'd like to become. Mm-hmm. Then two, supporting system. And three, be ready for the saboteurs. I found you can skip step two, supporting system, and skip step three, saboteur, if that motivation matrix is so compelling, I found, and I mentioned many instances where people change the behavior immediately. And for example, you know, they personally did not need to go to AA and they didn't have relapses because that motivation was so strong and compelling that they didn't pass go, don't collect 200, right? It just works. I mentioned a lot of the big examples of that. And like you said, our brain and people want immediacy. And I found that strong motivation and visualization and motivation in that matrix has that opportunity to have a, for some people and some facts, right, that profound immediate behavior change.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the world we live in doesn't help because social media has really given us a kind of a false sense of security that if we just say we want something, it'll fall in our lap the next day. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a problem. And we have to kind of work around that too. So, you know, when you look around the world and you see people who are really successful at what they do, I'm not talking financially successful, just successful people that you know. And I'm saying this for people listening too. What you're seeing is the result of a lot of things that didn't work. And I don't know that we talk about that enough. And I really am very honest and transparent with my clients in that regard and that, you know, let's acknowledge what didn't work. It's okay. You know, it doesn't make you any less competent. It doesn't make you any less desirable. It doesn't make you any less worthy of the success that you want for yourself. It just makes you more seasoned, you know, because we learn just as much from our mistakes as we do from what we do right.
Allison, you're spot on. So I'll bounce out. So it's called anticipatory anxiety.
Yep.
If your brain senses that anticipation that what you're about to do isn't going to work or you might fail or, you know, fear of failure or even fear of rejection, you might be rejected. That's even a stronger emotion.
Right.
Your brain, you know, again, we're all wired for pleasure, comfort, immediacy, least resistance. You will subconsciously not take the steps.
Yeah.
Or opt out, like you're saying, you know, and you will either start procrastinating or you'll be reluctant to even do it. And that's a wild thing, you know, and I found that in sales. So if people find themselves fiddling around, avoiding doing that email or follow-up call, you know, you're always like finding something else to do. That's your brain's, your anticipatory anxiety that you're going to fail.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to work out this morning. Well, I'll do it at lunch and I'll do it, you know,
Or I'll start next week, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
And that's it. That's your brain playing tricks on you. So what I found is all these things are upfront. I mean, you can have the best plans in the world. You can, you know, have all the steps to do things. You can have a great change program or, you know, a great program to create new habits to work out. But if you can't set your mind to it with the ways we're talking about, I think that's why only 17% work and 83% fail.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I love the work that you do. This is all like so good because I think it, you know, there's a lot of people out here who are talking about things very similar to this. But there's really not like an actionable plan or a tool that you can offer with what you've talked about. So I know that this has been incredibly valuable for people listening. Last question before we wrap up. What is your best piece of advice for people listening who maybe are sort of thinking this could work for me, but maybe they're hesitant? Or, you know, what's your best piece of advice that someone can walk away with and get a result today with?
Yeah. So on a hesitant one, you know, if you're hesitant, I found just do the opposite. It's really well. If you're safe, like I said, we said your brain is running on the amygdala, which means it's fight or flight, and it's putting you into negative Nancy land, right? And it's trying to avoid, like we said, rejection or failure and things like that. Just there's nothing like the shortcut answer. Do the opposite. Yeah, you want to, you know, it's been a long day. I'm tired. Let's go eat out and have a drink. Do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do the luxury upgrade.
The opposite for people who are consistently struggling is really tough to do. It's easier said than done. I don't want to, you know, play devil's advocate here, but I mean, you and I both know that that's what people want to do. So it's
exactly
easier and say, we'll just go do the opposite. But you know, for the person listening who is like, you know what, I've tried and I just can't. What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's when I think we do what we were just talking about. So this ideas, these mind bursts.
Yeah.
You know, so you can take a little mini 10-minute deep dive. Okay, here's how you're feeling and I'm having a hard time. Here's why you're having a hard time. Yeah. And here are the steps you can take. You know, we all have the benefit of choosing differently that will bring about a better emotional response and a better behavior response.
Yeah.
And so there is a program to walk through, you know, and I think that cognitive understanding of it's normal, why you're experiencing this, having a hard time, and here's why, here's what your brain's doing to you and the biases that are driving it, but you do have the freedom of to reframe it or a different decision.
Listening, just understand that sometimes it just takes a little bit of really, you know, what my coach calls RTT, radical truth telling, you know, just have some time where you can say, give yourself, you know what, I'm going to not only am I going to figure this out, but I'm going to give myself the gift of just being very self-aware. You know, everything that we do, the choices that we make, the things that we do, it's really just the result of what we're thinking and what we're telling ourselves. And it can really be that simple at the end of the day if we want to make a change. But we have to recognize that that's the way that it is first and do it with compassion, like you said.
Yep. I think you've summed it up well.
Love it. So what is the best way that people can connect with you?
Yeah. So my name is George Brooks and LinkedIn has a link to my website. And my website's called Sympatico Advisory. And my email is brooksgeorge11@gmail.com.
Okay. Give me your website one more time.
Sympatico Advisory.
Can you spell that?
Sympatico.
Oh, Sympatico. Okay. Advisory.com, right?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks so much for making time to talk with me about what you're doing and sharing it with my audience. This was really helpful.
Thank you, Allison. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, of course. So if anyone out there listening, what we talked about today is landed with you, please feel free to connect with George. You can find all his contact information in the show notes. You can find his LinkedIn page, as well as his website and his email. If you're interested in connecting with him and learning more about maybe getting his book or talking with him about the Motivation Matrix tool that he uses with his clients. You know, you've heard me talk about things very similar to this before with other people. And one of my goals always is to make sure that you have something actionable that you can walk away with and use in your day-to-day life. And so if the way we frame this today has made a lot of sense to you, I really would encourage you to reach out to George. And on that note, if, again, what we talked about was helpful and you know someone in your life or, you know, your audience or somewhere in your ecosystem that you think would benefit from this conversation, please feel free to copy the link and send them the link as a free gift from me, or you can write to me, come over to my website, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. And just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and just write to me and we will do it for you. This is one of the reasons why we have built such a phenomenal audience and why I love hearing from you guys every week. This is, you know, one of the reasons why we have, you know, thousands of people following us around the globe. And I always say it's because of all of you. So just know I'm incredibly thankful and grateful for each and every one of you, whether you've been following me since the beginning or whether you're just tuning in today for the first time. We do consider you part of the family. So thank you for that. This is Allison Gutzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.